We live in predominantly Muslim neighborhood, and they are proud of who they are. So they've told their friends school that they're Jewish, they're Israeli citizen. So my daughter would come home and tell me, they're asking me, who do you support? Do you support Israel or Palestine? And this conversation for, a 7-year-old, especially when you are isolated and 10 kids are asking you this question, can be very challenging.
Hi, this is Tuvia Zaretsky. I'm with Devorah and Teddy Lemma. They're both up in Toronto, Canada. And I wanted to talk with them today about their experience going back to October 7. If you get a chance to listen to their whole story on the podcast series, it's wonderful. I'll tell you a little bit about their background, both of them coming out of Ethiopia, Teddy from a Ethiopian Orthodox background, also kind of a secular search for spirituality and finding real life in Christian faith. And Devorah, coming from Ethiopia, moving to Israel with all of her family, serving there in the military.
I was first training, and then I was teaching Hebrew for new soldiers, like a new immigrants. It was Segen. Segen is an officer or lieutenant when I translated to English.
Your reaction to what happened in October 7, 2023 was impactful, remarkable, and I thought it would be helpful for our listeners to hear the story. How did you get the news of what happened in Israel that day in October?
I think I was on my phone and I kept seeing and hearing some of the video that was being uploaded. I went to the living room to turn on the TV and I found out on CP24, which is a news channel network here in Toronto. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And then I think my Debbie was also putting the kids to sleep.
Dora, you said you'd gone into the bedroom and you had your phone.
Yes, so very early on Sunday morning, no, sorry, Saturday morning, which is already Saturday night in Israel. I went to my son's room as he wake up, and I just checked my phone as I used my phone to just for some light, and then I saw my phone full of messages in all of my family groups, my sister's group, my friends' groups, our extended family, and when I opened it, I really thought it's one of the regular, okay, well, there is like just regular Qassam missiles being sent. Not, to be honest, not something that really scared me at the beginning because I kind of got used to it. I have experienced it in Israel and I thought it's just something like a familiar thing.
Can you imagine? I mean, just living in a place where you use the term Qassamim, the rockets out of Gaza were a regular feature, and the sirens blared with a red alert, so that became a normal part of life for so long.
Yes, unfortunately, especially since my family coming from Beersheba from the south, it wasn't something that was new to us, unfortunately. So I thought it's one of those people, my friends and my they haven't said many things in detail. They were just saying, "Oh, this nightmare start again." So I thought it's one of the things that I know, but I start checking on the news. Teddy came, and we just realized we found out at the same time. And when I saw the news and when I start seeing the videos, I saw like there's actually mechablim, like terrorists in the middle of cities, in the middle of kibbutzim that I myself served as in the army. I was shocked. Like that was something totally different. The kibbutz that I served was two kibbutzim, Nachal Oz and Ein HaShlosha. These are two kibbutzim that the army used to send lieutenant officers twice a year to provide extra guard.
So, did you contact your family in Israel?
Yes, it was. Yeah, I it was the not they weren't picking up the phone right away. I guess they were also worried of how they're telling me what's happening. They were shocked themselves, to be honest. Like it took them a day or two to figure out what's happening because it was right after Shabbat. They're not most of my family is the keep Shabbat, so they weren't. Besides hearing the sirens and running to the stairs shelter, they didn't really know until night or the next day even what's going on. So they couldn't really tell me. They just told me like it looks like something really big happened. Yeah, but I talked to them. It took us really about a few days to realize what's happening.
So as you and Teddy over the next few days were talking about this, what were your reactions, and were you thinking about what you could do? Teddy, what was it like for you? You're not raised in Israel with all this stuff happening, and now it becomes very real for you.
Yeah, it was hard, Tuvia, to be honest. I was there in 2013. My daughter was 8 months old, and there was rockets being sent, and I had to pick up my daughter at 8 months at 3 o'clock in the morning and go hide just to take cover.
In the shelter at Sarawi?
Yes. So being in Canada and having that experience the first time, it was really an eye-opening to, you know, what kind of condition the Jewish people are living in Israel. So then when I saw what I was seeing, I was just, it's something that you can't believe in this day of age, something like that could happen, you know?
Being married to somebody who's Jewish and having children together, did it something click in your head that there's part of you now that's bonded to the Jewish people?
100%. You know, our kids are visibly minority. So I have conversation and I pray that, you know, that part of them won't affect them in life. But the experience of what the Jewish people went through that day, was an eye-opening for me, what they're actually facing as Jewish people growing up. So that was something that I never really thought of until that day. That was an eye-opening experience for me. I knew the, you know, stigmas and things that people have toward Jewish community, toward Jewish people, but I didn't know it was to that scale until that day.
Yeah. Thanks. Dvorah, I understood that you ended up going back to Israel around that time. How long was it before that happened, and what was making the decision like?
Yeah, so I went back in December, so that is like about 3 months after the attack. I can say that it was a very hard decision to make, knowing how worried my kids are, knowing how even Teddy, as much as how supportive he is, I could imagine that maybe there's stuff in the back of the head that worries, even just as some things like, will be flight back, or what's happening if things changes, like, and things like that. So it was difficult in that sense, but we knew, Teddy and I knew 100% that was the right thing to do. Like, we felt it, and Teddy told me, like, I really think I should do that, and which really gave me peace, knowing that, you know, he understands the need that I feel every day since the attack. I'm feeling many different feelings. One of them was like, what can I do? I can't just sit down here. That urge of like, what do we do? How do we help? Like, you know, when your nation goes into war. So he really recognized that. Yeah, so it was definitely, so at the same time, it felt to us really like the right thing to do at that moment. We have obviously, we talked a lot with the kids, had conversation every day, and we've really prayed with them to have this process easily as much as possible. And yeah, at the end, like, I felt like I was sent with their understanding. It was good.
Yeah.
And the support of your husband and the kids, huh?
Yes.
Right. And, you know, what I would add to that is, Tuvia, I sense from the moment she found out what was happening, like, helpless. She wants to do something, but what can she do? Mm-hmm. And as the days go on and the more picture we saw, and maybe it wasn't the right choice to make, but to be honest with you, Tuvia, I was just stuck on my phone because I couldn't see, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And I also said, I'm not going to turn a blind eye. I'm really going to take in and see what happened so that I'm in the right state of mind when, you know, when I'm praying or when I'm advising my wife or you know, sheltering my children. I want to know the terror and the fear that's out there so that I'd be able to guide them the best way that I can. And in order for me to do that, I need to take in as much as possible into what happened that day.
Mm.
And I saw that Debbie was very eager to do something. And so, yeah, I just encouraged her to go.
Deborah, you didn't go back because the military was asking you to go back.
No. The military has... No, it didn't ask me because I moved and because I'm a mother now. But I felt like it was, to be honest to you, Toby, I was like, I went to serve another army. That's how I felt. I need to serve the people of God. I need to help my brothers and sisters who are there. I was really grateful for that opportunity that I had in Israel serving in Tel Aviv with our Jewish for Jesus brand, which during that period of time, we helped hundreds of families by providing food, packing boxes of good dry foods for those families who were evacuated.
They were evacuated out of the southern part of Israel in the Gaza district.
Yes, yeah. Correct. And also for soldiers, there were days when we went out there to the base, to military bases, and provide fresh coffee and have conversations with those who are in reserve for weeks, who haven't seen their children and their spouses, for those who just joined the army. It was really a powerful experience for me to sit there down with soldiers that I could manage at that time, or soldiers that could be my supervisors. It was really blessed. And one of the things that we also did, that I also did during my time there, was we held a webinar where we spoke just spiritually and share our faith and what's helping us during those times.
Mm-hmm.
Very powerful. Yeah.
So Teddy was at home taking care of the kids. And how long did you stay in Israel?
I stayed for a total of 5 weeks.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. So looking back now, what have you taken away from that period where it's a year later? The conflict in the region has expanded. We're not going to go into that at this point. I wanted to get just your thoughts from each of you. Teddy, you were talking about just this last week.
Yeah. You know, just to go back a little bit to Via. So when Debbie went, it was literally her birthday the next day. She went on the 18th of December. So we knew she was going to be away for her birthday and for Christmas, you know, and for the kids to be at home without their mom at that time. It was challenging, but they understood. But what was also an eye-opening for me, Tuvia, was the amount of protests that was happening throughout our city. Even a little bit more of, okay, I need to be early at school picking up these kids because we live in predominantly Muslim neighborhood and they are proud of who they are. So they've told their friends for many years they've been attending that school that they're Jewish. They're Israeli citizen. So my daughter would come home and tell me some things like, they're asking me, who do you support? Do you support Israel or Palestine? And this conversation for, you know, a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old, especially when you are isolated and 10 group of kids are asking you this question, can be very challenging. So,
yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I had to, it was not only the threat that was faced or the Jewish people facing in Israel, but also the protest around the world was a shocking and eye-opening moment. How after seeing what they saw, which was being televised, people felt comfortable enough to go out and protest to justify what happened.
Yeah, you're talking about the anti-Zionist and pro-Palestinian demonstrations that were taking place. I struggle to refer to it as pro-Palestinian because the purpose of their being out there is an anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish, anti-Zionist hatred fueling it. Thanks for sharing that. But as painful as that's got to be for your children to be in the middle of that. What was it that you saw something this week? Was it this weekend?
Yeah, it was actually yesterday. So yesterday was the 1 year anniversary since, you know, this horrible attack took place. And it was at UGA in the Jewish community where they had time to get together as the Jewish community, reflect back on what happened on October 7th. They had people that survived that attack that were speaking there. Time to, you know, take moments and recognize these people by name, by picture, who've been killed. For me, there was at least 15,000 people. And a year after, many people were in tears, you know? Yeah. And that kind of tells you and shows you a little bit of how devastating the Jewish community is from that event.
Yeah, it's a burden that we're carrying. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful to hear you, you know, just share from your heart how that is touching you. Dvorah, any last thought here?
It was a very challenging year. We experienced it both in what's happening there and what's happening here. And with our kids being experiencing anti-Semitism at school, that would be very difficult. But we're grateful, you know, we're grateful for our faith, who I feel really helped us to go through this. Our hope in God, who is not surprised by what's happening, and the God that was always with Israel throughout history, throughout all the wars. So those things have really helped us both explaining and encouraging our kids in this difficult time, but also for ourselves. We are thankful for the hope we have in Messiah and for the hope we see in the future that God will continue to preserve the Jewish people.
You know, Tuvia, it was a season we learned what it means to pray and love your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our son was praying every day, please God, show the people in Hamas what they're doing is wrong so they don't do this anymore. And so it was a hard time, you know, raising kids that are hearing this, that are seeing this, but at the same time, guiding them so that there's no hate in their heart, you know, that they see this and understand that this is wrong and that they should pray for these people to understand what they're doing is wrong.
This also underscores our hope for couples to find and families to find spiritual harmony, because to have that faith and love for a God who preserves us and cares for us is at the core of what we're all about with Jewish Gentile couples. Thanks for sharing your hearts. Hopefully next time we get a chance to get you on this podcast, we'll have something more fun to talk about. Bless you both.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us, Tuvia.